Today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online is brought to you by Best Fiends. With over 100 million downloads, tons of five-star reviews, Best Fiends is a must-play. It's the mobile puzzle game you're going to love. Download Best Fiends free on the Apple App Store or Google Play. That's friends without the R, Best Fiends. Hope everybody is doing their best right now as we're going through this crazy time in our world. I'm Tony Bruschi, host of Real Ghost Stories Online. I wanted to invite you and let you know about our other brand new podcast that we just launched, Help Kill the Time for You. It's called The Dark Side of Wikipedia. It's about true crime and dark history. We dive into some of the strangest, most disturbed minds and experiences from our history and examine their story, their Wikipedia entry, and then discuss the cases, the individuals, and the psychology of the events as we go through each and every story. Some of our first episodes include Ed Gein, the BTK killer, the New London School explosion, Amityville murders, Richard Speck, Amelia Dyer, the General Slocum disaster, Jeffrey Dahmer, and more. New episodes every single week. Check out Dark Side of Wikipedia. Search it. Subscribe wherever you download podcasts, including Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, and more. It's available now with new episodes every single week. Dark Side of Wikipedia. Search and subscribe today and stay safe out there. Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, we hear real ghost stories from real people. Our phone number is 855-853-4802. You can call it 24/7 to share your real ghost story with us or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
Yes, it is. And we thank you for tuning in to our program, helping to keep us on the air. Please press subscribe, whatever platform it is you listen to us on. iTunes, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, whatever it is. That subscribe helps us stay on the air, lets other folks know that we exist. So please do that. And then, if you can, I know we are in the middle of a shit show. If there is any way you can help support our program and keep us going, it's only $5 a month. And for that $5 a month, you get access to our archive of more than about almost 300 bonus EPP episodes. We called you guys extra podcast people if you become an EPP. You get access to all those. It's jam-packed with some of the damn best ghost stories that we've ever had on this show. Several of the stories actually end up being on network television series, Haunted, and many other things have come to us and said, can we use the story? And we worked it out. And so there's tons and tons and tons of great ghost stories there. You also get access to our ebook, which is an Amazon bestseller. That's like a $15 value right there. You also get our audiobook, advanced episodes of the program. As we make them, we post them for you. So you get episodes weeks in advance. You can binge away, and binging away is what many of us are doing right now to keep ourselves occupied. And I should state this, I guess I'm kind of predicting the future. We're recording this episode on the 18th of March of 2020. And this episode is going to be airing, if my calculations are correct, let me see here, mid-April or so. So if everything pans out as what they were saying at this moment in time, cabin fever has probably more than hit everybody. And God knows the way the shit shows have been going. I have no idea what the current news is as this airs, because like I said, we're recording this in advance, unless you're getting it as an EPP. Things could be much worse. Things could be much better. I don't know. I'm going to hope and pray for the better
But we're here and we're doing our shows, and that doesn't get interrupted by the shit show that our world is going through right now. I'm Tony Bruschi, Carol Hughes joining me.
Hey, welcome to the shit show.
Hey, welcome to the shit show, everybody.
You know, here's the deal. I don't know what's going to, because I was thinking about this earlier today. I'm like, I have no idea when this airs, what's going to go down. My hope is that it's better. And today it's just this crazy, like, surreal, like you're stuck in this movie thing. This, how's this going to end?
I know.
But I was walking my dog tonight, and I'm like, at least I get to go talk about ghosts. That feels normal.
Yeah.
And I've been really looking for things in my life that help me feel normal.
Yeah.
So it might just be running to the pharmacy. I'm like, hey, that's like everyday shit. Or watching movies with my friends. That's good. Mm-hmm. And so it's just a little thing. So just know, I was really happy today just to come talk about ghosts.
I've been looking forward to doing the show all day, too. It's been kind of...
Talking about ghosts feels normal.
It's funny. Earlier in the day, I did an episode of The Dark Side of Wikipedia with Sean. And our topic was Jeffrey Dahmer. And as
that's
fucked
like
up.
Bringing you up.
Oh my God, as fucked up. And it's a two-parter. It might even be three because there's so much information on that story. As fucked up as that story is, it was like, oh, it felt good to talk about Dahmer for an hour. Like, that's that really says something as to where we're at right now. It's been crazy, overwhelming.
I want to be on some new podcast that's like,
Sunshine and Ponies.
Yeah. Like Sunshine and Rainbows is a little happy unicorn.
Yeah.
I don't know if that exists or not, but it would be great.
Michael Bolton can sing the theme song.
I took my dog's picture by the cutest little daffodils today. It was adorable. Yeah. Like, I just want to hear that.
You know, there's a market for it right now. We obviously kind of in the market of dark podcasts, but, you know, it's an interesting time. That we're all dealing with all this. Back to the ghost stories in just a moment. First, I need to thank our supporter today, Best Fiends, the mobile puzzle game. You're going to love this stuff. Obviously, right now, we're all sitting here going, I need more things to do. At least many of us are. If you find yourself to be that individual, check out this. It's a great, I call it a stress reliever, because I, prior to everything going on, this would be something I would kind of break out if I'm standing in line at the grocery store or just kind of when I'm having some downtime to kind of just, you know, it's like a mind palate cleanser, if you will. You got enough on your mind right now. There's enough stressors going on. Having a little something where you can just kind of escape, something that doesn't involve reading news or this or that, or just kind of immersing yourself in stuff that stresses you out. Best Fiends, get it. You could use it. It's okay. Don't feel guilty. You can use a little mental palate cleanser. It's an awesome puzzle game. So it exercises your brain a bit, and you have a lot of fun doing it as well. It's a great mobile puzzle game. I'm on level 174 now. I've been playing this for quite some time, and I really enjoy it. It's just one of those things. You just kind of get into it, and you're like, all right, I want to play this. Best Fiends updates the game monthly, new levels and events. There's thousands of levels already. It never gets old. And if you find yourself playing this thing, like I said, in random places, it's okay. You're totally cool. Everyone does. Doesn't require the internet to play, so if you don't have Wi-Fi, if that goes out or something, you're all good. Collect all these great characters on this thing, too, which is really fun to kind of pop up. You're like, I didn't know that was there. That's cool. Like I said, new challenges, new characters, new levels every single month. It does not get old. It's just something you can whip out on your phone and just have some fun with. Check it out for yourself. Best Fiends has thousands of levels already with new levels, events, and characters added every month. It's hours of fun right at your fingertips, and you can even play offline. With over 100 million downloads and tons of 5-star reviews, Best Fiends is a must play. Download Best Fiends free on the Apple App Store or Google Play. That's Friends without the R, Best Fiends. That's that. Let's jump into our first caller of the day. 855-853-4802 is our phone number. We would love for you to call in and share your ghost story with us as you're sitting there reflecting on your life over the last however many weeks. Maybe you thought about some ghost stories. Share it with us. Let's hear this one. Hi.
Hi. Okay, I'm going to tell you my story. First of all, I just heard the story about the woman when she was a little girl. She was visited by Richard, who was trying to get her to help his daughter, Frances. Well, I totally believe that. Because I have a similar story. And I don't think it's creepy at all. I kind of believe that, I mean, maybe there are bad spirits, I'm not sure, but I kind of believe that if a spirit comes back, someone that the person knows, it's because they need your help. So anyway, here's my story. Okay, and before I start my story, just a couple side notes. When I was 12, my mom got sick. She got brain damage. She had seizures, memory problem, etc. Anyway, also, even though I was, my parents were Catholic and we went to church when I was a very, very little girl, I had decided I agreed in evolution and not God. So I did not believe in God. I did not believe in heaven or hell or anything like that since I was a child. And now my story starts when I was 19. So when I was 19, I was living by myself in my father's house. He was living away with his girlfriend in her house. Anyway, so I was pretty much living there by myself. And I was living there and I was sleeping. And someone woke me up by shaking my shoulder. And when I woke up, it was my grandfather who had passed away 3 years prior. Now, normally at that time, even though I was already 19, if I woke up in the middle of the night, say to go to the bathroom or something like that, I would be scared and I would have to turn on my bedside light immediately so that I wasn't in the dark. But when I got woken up and I saw my grandfather, and there was a little bit of light because there was a street light outside my bedroom window. So I had not right outside, but enough to shed a little bit of light in my bedroom when the lights were off. So when I woke up, I saw it was my grandfather who had already been dead. And he basically was there to say, please go take care of your mother. Now, I had lived about an hour and a half away from where my mother lived, which was the house I grew up in. But I hadn't seen her in a couple of years because we didn't get along. And I didn't want to see her. I had no intentions of being in touch with her. And anyway, so my grandfather woke me up and he kept asking me, please go take care of your mom. Please go see your mom. Take care of her. She needs you. And I kept saying, yeah, whatever. How can you be here? So here I am asking my grandfather, and I'm very comfortable. I'm not scared at all, but I'm like in awe and I'm very, very curious. I don't understand how he can be there. And so I'm asking him, is there really a heaven? Is there really a God? Is there really heaven and hell? And are you a spirit of my grandfather? Are you a spirit? Are you? And he felt like flesh and blood. I mean, he was sitting 1 foot away from me on the bed, and I was sitting up and I was touching him, and he felt like any person would feel like, and he looked like any person would look like. So basically the conversation was me asking him if there's really a God, if there's really heaven and hell, and how can you be here? And of course me telling him, I love you, I miss you. And he basically just kept saying to me, please tell me that you will go see your mother and help her. Please promise me you will do that. And I kept just saying, yeah, what about God? You know, so I'm going back and forth. Finally, he said, I don't know what came first, but I finally, you know, he probably finally made me be clear to him that I would definitely go help my mother. And I said, yeah, yes, I will definitely go visit her and take care of her. And another time, he never answered my questions while I'm asking him. So I'm asking him questions, and he's asking me the same question right back, that, you know, to take care of my mom, will I do that? And I, at one point, said to him, you know, I asked another question about, is there really a God? And he said to me, it is not your time to know. And then that made me just shut up and pause and think about what he said. Like, huh, it's not my time to know. So I was trying to think about what that meant, because I would never talk like that normally, because I didn't believe in God. I didn't believe that you went to heaven after you died and whatever. So when he said, it's not your time to know, I just finally stopped talking, and I just tried to make sense out of what he just said. And then he said, all right, honey, I have to go. And of course I begged him, no, please don't go. I miss you. I love you. Please stay. And he's like, I can't stay. I love you too. But I have to leave. And he was trying to get me to close my eyes, and I wouldn't do it because I didn't want him to leave. And he said, please, honey, please, just for me, will you just blink your eyes real quick? Just please do that for me right now. Just blink your eyes real quick. And so I did. And when I opened my eyes, he was gone. Well, of course, I got up out of bed and I walked downstairs and I got something to drink. And I just made sure, I said to myself, I know I'm awake. That wasn't a dream. It's not like I woke up after he left. I was fully awake, and that was so real. And anyway, to this day, and this is now 30 years later, I still completely believe that a spirit came and talked to me, and I think it was my grandfather's spirit. I've told this story before, and people are like, well, maybe it was God, or maybe it was an angel. Well, maybe. I think it was actually my grandfather's spirit, but maybe it was God. Putting the spirit there that looked like my grandfather so I'd be comfortable. I don't know. Oh, but anyway, another side note is, I didn't go to my mother's right away, but I did go a few months later. And my mother had been living alone, and she desperately needed help. Apparently, she was not taking her medication. She was having seizures because she must have been falling, because she had cuts and scrapes all over her. The house that I grew up in, that she still lived in, was messy and cluttered, and that is not her at all. We always kept the house immaculate. So she obviously was having huge health problems and could not take care of herself. So I ended up jumping full force in, and I ended up becoming like her case manager. And I took care of everything, from all her medical doctor's appointments, any other appointments, taking care of the house, paying the bills and everything. And I did all that for her because she really desperately needed it. So anyway, that is my story. I am so glad that my grandfather came to visit me, because it was such a good feeling to see him. But that's my story. All right. Thank you.
Thank you for calling in and sharing that story. What's your thoughts?
You know what I think. I think 100% that was her grandfather.
Yeah.
The one thing, though, that surprised me in that story was, if that would have happened to me, I probably would have gotten up right away and gone to my mother.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And because if you have something like that happen, like I had a similar thing with when my grandmother got really sick. I didn't have a visitation, but I just had this overwhelming, like, stop what you're doing right now. You have to go see your grandmother.
Mm-hmm.
And my grandmother was 80 miles away. My car broke down. I had to fix it, but it was like this whole struggle to get there. But I made it. It was like I was obsessed, because for some reason I was told to go see her. And so, like, I 100% think that was her grandfather. 100%.
Yeah. I mean, I think when people jump down the road of maybe it was God, maybe it was this, maybe it was that, it's everybody's interpretation of how they view the structure of ghosts and things of that nature. And in my opinion, it's a lot simpler than I think we make it out to be sometimes. As complex as it can feel, I think sometimes, you know, it is what it is. And if it looks and smells like grandpa and he's not doing anything weird, it's probably grandpa. And there was there for a good intent. And it turned out, yeah, the mom needed her. So I don't see anything else that it would be, other than he was back to help prod her along to do the right thing. So.
Yeah. And, you know, and as she was telling that story too, I don't know how I would react if I woke up and my grandmother was there. I think it would kind of scare the shit out of me.
Yeah.
I mean, she's been gone a long time now, but I'd be like, well, I'm really happy to see you, but what the fuck?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Grandma. When you were around, I never said that word in front of you. But, like, that would, that would terrify me. But then that's also someone who I felt very comforted by. Mm-hmm. And I would think maybe, because that's what she felt. So that as she was talking, I'm like, maybe that sense of comfort and familiarity and love, that's what you're feeling too.
Yeah.
Instead of, holy shit, my grandma just showed up.
Yeah.
But, so I think it's, yeah, she saw her grandfather, but also had all that feeling of comfort and love and mm-hmm. all the things that you get from a grandfather.
Yeah, I agree. Thank you for sharing that.
That was such a beautiful story. I needed that one today.
I think you made Carol cry. Congratulations. You are the proud recipient of a box of Rice-A-Roni, the San Francisco treat.
And if we could send you hand sanitizer, yeah. We would. But God, you can't buy that.
We'll give you the gift certificate for that. You can pick it up at your local grocery. Oh, wait. Sorry.
Oh, yeah. I ordered some on Amazon.
You'll get it in 2 weeks
ago, August. And they said that I would get it in anywhere from 4 to 6 weeks.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's going to take about 8 weeks to get it after I ordered it.
I'm using Suave.
This whole thing's going to be over, and I'm going to randomly get some hand sanitizer.
I just wash my hands with Suave now. It's like they're silky smooth. You should see the hair on my hands. It's just, it's bright and refreshed. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your ghost story or write it in on our website at realghoststoriesonline.com. Let's go to our next caller. Hi.
My name is Beth. I'm originally from Worcester, Mass. Currently, I'm sitting in a high school parking lot in New York. I'm traveling for work. I'm an admissions counselor, so go to high schools all the time. It's great. It's fun. And if you hear background sound, that's rain. It is pouring right now. And funny enough, as I'm sitting here thinking, you know, I think I'm finally going to call in. It's getting darker and darker and darker. So I've been listening for about a year. Not an EPP yet, unfortunately, because I do not have the funds, but hopefully as I get a new job, that will be a thing. I'm someone I guess you would call sensitive. I've always been aware of others, I guess you could say, you know, not everyone living. And I've always had a sense of places. I can always tell, you know, if it's haunted, walk into a place and I'm just like, oh, wow, yeah, this is not empty. And I see my family members that have passed all the time. They're always around, especially my mom had an ectopic pregnancy when I was 4. And I see him, my little brother, all the time. He's always with me. I've been seeing him since I was a senior in high school. And I actually had a friend once who was like, hey, what does your little brother look like? And I said, well, funny you ask, because, you know, when I first saw him, he was a little boy and curly brown hair, and he was adorable. And then I said, recently, though, I've started to see him. She goes, as a teenager? I said, yeah. Why? She goes, he's standing in the doorway right now, isn't he? I said, yeah, he's just listening to us chat. She's like, yeah, I can see him, and he's adorable. But anyway, so, I lived in one haunted house, and I had a lot of things happening, and I'm kind of the only one in my family who really gets into this. My dad listens to my stories and is like, huh, I wonder. And my mom is just like, yeah, whatever, okay. But one thing that I was thinking, and I don't know if maybe this is just an episode I haven't come across yet, but I haven't really heard anything about people, you know, other than the Queen Mary talking about famous places they've been. And it occurred to me that one story I really want to tell you, I'm sorry I'm rambling so much, is my friend Emma and I went to the Lizzie Borden house. And as we're there, it's, you know, I don't think Lizzie is there. Personally, I don't think she is. If any part of Lizzie is there, it's, you know, just an impression of her, because she left, went to a different house, died there. She wasn't, you know, at the house. But I definitely think Mr. and Mrs. Borden are there. And we went in, and I immediately was like, yeah, this isn't an empty house. It's not a terribly active house, but it's definitely not empty. And what was funny is my friend and I just looked at each other and went, huh, Lizzie and Emma, because her name is Emma, my name's Elizabeth, so it could be Lizzie. And as we're looking at each other and thinking this, the tour guide, we're in the front foyer, and he's talking about how, you know, Andrew Borden wasn't terribly a fan of women being in the front foyer, and we're like, well, that explains the feeling behind us, because at that moment, the two of us were like, you feel like someone is just standing right behind us, almost trying to will us out of this house, and he's like, yep, that's not just you, I feel that too. And so I'd be curious to see if any other listeners, you know, have stories like that with famous haunted places other than like the Queen Mary, which I've heard. And I'll probably call in and tell you some more of, you know, like when I was in the haunted house, that one haunted house that I lived in, things like that. Don't want to ramble too much. Thanks, guys. I love the show, and hopefully I will be in APP soon. Talk to you later.
Thanks for the story. And yeah, there's plenty of famous location stories. If you want a whole other podcast all about that, it's one of the other ones that I do called The Grave Talks. You can find it anywhere you download podcasts. And hundreds of interviews there, lots of them about famous places, many about just very specific locations, home hauntings, things that happen to individuals. But there's certainly a lot of famous locations in there. That are haunted. How about you and famous haunted locations? Have you what have you visited?
Well, remember when I went to Rome last year?
Yeah.
And there was that one church. It was a Bernini church, and I can't remember the name of it right now off the top of my head. But they had the creepiest room that you had to pay 2 extra euros to get into.
Mm-hmm.
And so we go into the room, and this church was built, well, originally built like in 1200. And then something, of course, happened, and then it's rebuilt and rebuilt. And so the one that's standing is from the 1600s. And so we go into the room, and it's the weirdest, I don't know what you'd call it. It's not, what is the word for it? Like he's buried there, but it's like this sculpture of him kind of laying on top of it.
Like entombed?
Yeah, it's sort of like that,
yeah.
But it was very odd. And when we walked into that room, it was like my heart started racing and I couldn't catch my breath. And I look at my niece, I'm like, oh my God, do you feel that? And she's like, oh God, my heart. And then my friend Lynn and my sister come in. Lynn got nothing, but my sister goes, oh my God, do you feel that? And it was just the four of us in this room. And it was so intense. Like, I took a picture of it just in case I got something, and my sister's like, don't get close. I'm like, we're fine, Kathy. I know we're fine. No, don't.
Yeah.
But it was just this really like what she just described, that there's that feeling that you get, like somebody's right behind you or they're right there. But when I get in a situation like that, it's my heart starts racing. It's a physical feeling I get. And I've talked to other people. Well, obviously my family is the same way. But it's just that overwhelming. My heart's racing. I can't quite breathe.
Is it like that feeling you get with a Coca-Cola Classic? Because you can't beat the real thing.
Oh, let me think. No, more like a hit of crack.
Okay.
That was a joke. I've never done crack.
Well, that makes sense to all of us then, you know?
I never have, really. But, yeah, so the more you know.
Can't beat the real thing. Yeah. But there you go.
Yeah, it's like drinking Coke.
Cocaine. So. Mixed with Coke, a Coca-Cola Classic, or Coke 2 is actually the more operative one, because
we've heard a lot of stories when I've been on with you, like around Gettysburg.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, God. Yeah.
Some of those Civil War sites.
Yeah. It's just
heard quite a few from those places.
It's a hotbed. You know what? I didn't realize, you know, living in the South, now, and I've lived in several areas now, just the amount of battlefield sites that are all over the place. When you're a northern kid like me that grew up in Wisconsin, there's not battlefield sites up there really from the war. So all you learn about it, but you, in your mind, I think a lot of times, because what's talked about so often is Gettysburg, 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 Gettysburg.
Yeah.
And then you don't realize, oh shit, there was like tons of other horrific battles, like everywhere around the country, especially along kind of the middle part of the country. And it's just like, Jesus, I don't know why, if I wasn't paying enough attention, or it just was kind of glossed over and really didn't get the attention that it deserved in our education system. But my God, there's been somewhere. It's like going on a train ride when we were near Branson, and we're just going through the woods. And this over here was a campsite for the Confederate soldiers, and some thousand of them died right there. It's like, what? It's like, what are you? And then they put the bodies in the lake. Like, are you fucking serious? And it's like, I don't know. It seems skimmed over a little bit in terms of what, where and what happened with all of that.
And some of it is just things like when I was a kid, we lived in Nebraska, mm-hmm. and there was this place called Massacre Canyon. And it was like, I never really thought anything about it.
Yeah.
It was Massacre Canyon. But it's where they massacred these Indians.
God.
You know, and as a kid, it's like, oh, here comes Massacre Canyon, because it was cool, because it was super hilly.
Yeah.
But I never really thought about what it really was until I was an adult.
Yeah.
I'm like, holy shit. Like, it was this large number of Indians. They basically just trapped them.
Yeah.
And so there's places like that all over the country.
Yeah.
It's horrific.
And with us being so disconnected from history so often, it's like, yeah. It's like, oh, fun name. What does Massacre Canyon mean? And it's like, oh, wow. And there's like a mural up on some end of a hall at a city hall of like Massacre Canyon in action. It's like, what the fuck is this? Oh, it's Massacre Canyon. I think of Parks and Rec, there was a scene like that. And it was just like, Jesus. 855-853-4802 is our number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's hear one more story. Hi.
Hey, Tony and Jess. I'm a fairly new listener. I just found your show a couple of days ago. I love what you guys are doing. And I'm very interested in telling quite a few of my stories. I may end up becoming a multiple caller. I've experienced paranormal all my life. My whole mom's side of the family is very, what we would say, sensitive. We're not mediums or anything like that. We're just kind of more in tuned to things than anybody else is. So I'd like to tell you one of my stories. My name's Allie and I'm from Utah. And I still can't even explain what had happened or what was going on. And I still don't have any answers. So maybe if the community can weigh in and possibly tell me what was going on, that would be a great help to settle my mind. Several years ago, when I was about, I want to say 16, 17 years old, I was home alone after school, and I was sitting at the counter doing my homework, and my sister, who no longer lived with us at that point in time, had come into the house to use our office upstairs. She came in and she said hi to me, and I said hi back to her and heard her go up the stairs, and I turned back and continued doing my homework. Well, probably about 5 minutes later, I want to say, I heard right next to my right ear, Allie called to me, and I thought it was my sister. So I turn around and there was nobody there. There was nothing there. And I even called up to her to see if she had called my name. And she's like, no, I haven't said anything. And it seemed like whatever this was followed me for a long time. Because for about a year, year and a half after that first incident, I would constantly have this female voice right next to my ear, right next to me, either call my name or say, hey, or something to grab my attention, but then nothing else would ever happen. Like, I'd understand if it was a loved one or something like that trying to grab my attention to stop doing something or to grab my attention towards something else, but it was always just grab my attention and then nothing else. Because of my sensitivity to these things, it wasn't like told to me in any way. I just sensed or understood that whatever this was a female woman, probably between 20s to 30s, and was close but not related to me in any way. And I've just never understood what had happened, why it happened, so long. There is instance, because I've always tried to like explain it away, like, oh, my mom was calling me and I just mistook it for her. But there had been incidences where I was listening to music with headphones on and it would actually come through the headphones and call my name or disrupt the music to grab my attention. And nothing ever came of it, and it just went away after about a year and a half, and I still can't understand it. If either you, Tony, or Jen, or somebody else in the community has an idea what had happened or what was going on, I'd love to hear your input. Keep doing what you guys are doing. I may call in or write in later on, and I'll keep listening to you guys. Thank you so much. Bye.
What do you think was going on?
I don't know. That's just annoying.
Yeah.
Like, it almost sounds like it's more of a child, though.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like that kid who's like, hey, 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 hey.
Yeah.
Because, okay, you've got my attention. Now what? And nothing.
I always wonder if it's something, you know, it's how difficult it is for the other side to communicate with us. And sometimes we're just getting like bits and pieces, like interference. Almost picture the start of the Fastball song, The Way. And you know, everybody thinks of that song and you hear a very split second of Jewel, in case you failed to notice, in case you failed to see. But I think it's like To Notice is all you hear in it. I think it's the song, These Foolish Games is what it was. But there's all these other little tidbits in that little static that you hear. And I think that sometimes that's really how the paranormal are coming through. Sometimes it's very staticky. It's very mixed. You may not sound like it's supposed to sound, and it may not be what you think it is, depending on how clear that signal is, which is interesting because obviously there's devices now that people use when they're ghost hunting that do it precisely that. They sound exactly like the intro to that song. And they sometimes then pick up coherent messages. But I think that that is sometimes what we're dealing with. It's interference, and it makes it very confusing to identify what exactly it is that is coming across.
She didn't really say anything like if there was someone that she knew who had passed, like, mm-hmm. like maybe it could be someone who just wanted her to know that she was nearby.
Yeah.
Like, hey, you know, I'm here sort of thing. But it sounded like she thought it was a woman, mm-hmm. but didn't seem to have a clue who. So why would a random spirit be bugging you like that just because they can?
Because they maybe know that this person can be a conduit for their message, and they think that maybe the person's more in tune with it than they actually are, and they pick the wrong person. Maybe the person has the abilities, but they're not in tune with it enough to use them to the degree that they could, essentially.
The poor spirit's like, man, she heard me. God dang it, she didn't hear the rest of it.
She doesn't know what the fuck to do with it, though. Yeah, so I don't know. I mean, that's kind of my take on that right there. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like our program, please, if you can, be a part of keeping us on the air through these crazy times, become an extra podcast person at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Your $5 a month gets you access to all of those bonus episodes, more than 300 jam-packed with our best ghost stories you can binge away on for quite literally weeks, months. So yeah, you might want to try that. Ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Until next time, for Carol, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening and stay safe.